Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijone go shavotya, nijone go shavotya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwai, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwai, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey! the drum High Noon. That song was an intertribal when all dancers are welcomed into the circle. The drum is the heartbeat of our tribal nations. We honor our singers and dancers whose singing and dancing show respect to our ancestors and keep alive and pass on to the youth generation our traditional cultural, spiritual life ways as indigenous peoples. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program is Program 2 of Wolf Mountain Radio's series entitled Voices for Justice, Conversations with Youth Activists. One definition of justice from the dictionary is fairness or reasonableness, especially in the way people are treated and how decisions are made. Yad Kiddushi Native Center expands this definition to include our Mother Earth and all life. This concept of treating each other in the biosphere with dignity and respect is the basis of Yad Kiddushi Native Center's mission. It is the central focus of most every Wolf Mountain radio program. There are many aspects of justice, legally and morally. Many justice issues are interconnected. Examples include cultural, racial, ethnicity, social, religious, gender, age, geographic, professional work status, educational levels, economic, energy, and environmental. Justice issues should also be considered as a universal human right, as well as the right of nature to be protected around the globe. Today's program features Voices for Justice. They are conversations with youth activists who were willing to share their views on a variety of issues with listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio. These interview topics are as varied as are my program guests. What they all have in common is the sincerity of concern and willingness to try to fight for justice. Voices for Justice, Conversation with Youth Activists, took place during Encuentros in Immokalee, Florida, a poor rural town in southwest Florida near where Yad Kiddushi Native Center is located. Encuentro is a Spanish term for gathering. Every year, Yad Kiddushi Native Center has the privilege to attend a national gathering of young people who are dedicated to standing up for poor people's dignity and human rights. The annual Immokalee Encuentro is hosted by the Student Farmworker Alliance. SFA is a decentralized network of diverse organizations and individuals working together for justice. The primary focus of SFA is being an ally to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW. Most Wolf Mountain Radio listeners have heard many of our programs about CIW's efforts to defend themselves from social and economic exploitation by America's agribusiness food industry. The poverty and oppressive working conditions faced mostly by immigrant labor who harvest much of the fruits and vegetables Americans eat is nothing less than modern-day slavery. It is, as journalist Edward R. Murrow's classic documentary film title says, a harvest of shame. The grim reality of agricultural workers in farm fields and in food packing plants is little known by the general public. Abusive working conditions, payment level below a fair living wage, exemption from labor rights, lack of safety and health regulations, police harassment, racism, substandard housing, and serious environmental health problems are the types of injustices occurring in Immokalee and in many other places throughout America and around the world. These issues are very important to Yad Kiddushi Native Center because, as most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I, like many other Native peoples in the world, have been a farm worker. In North America not too long ago, before immigrant labor, much of the farm work was done by Native Americans. I grew up harvesting blueberries, cranberries, potatoes, apples, and working in horticulture. I remember working long hours for very little money. In those days, racism and lack of respect by the growers was common, as it still is towards the mostly Central American and Haitian workers who are the predominant labor force. Many of us American Indians were, like present-day workers, exposed to and made sick by agrochemical fertilizers, herbicides, and insecticides. This is one of the reasons why I became a professional ecologist, in order to fight against the poisoning of the people, land, and waters. This is a serious example of what many call environmental racism. Yet, Kitishi Native Center's support of the Coalition of Mockley Workers, since its inception in 1995, has introduced me to many fine people, workers, student activists, community organizers, interfaith clergy, some members of the media, and even a few politicians who have an interest in these issues. Networking with many people who care about injustice, especially the many students and young people across the country, gives me encouragement to continue my activism. I hope my conversations with the different program guests you will hear will likewise motivate you to fight for justice. The issues, campaigns, protest actions, and achievements of CIW and their SFA allies are well described on both CIW and SFA websites. Ways in which people can get involved and support this justice movement, as well as learning more about the struggle, are urged to visit the Coalition of Mockley Workers and Student Farm Worker Alliance's websites, which are www.ciw-online.org and www.sfalliance.org for more information. I also want to remind Wolf Mountain Radio listeners that Yad Kitishi Native Center has produced many Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices radio programs about CIW, agribusiness, and farm worker struggles that can be heard anytime on the internet at www.radioforall.net. While today's program conversations include CIW issues, since Enquentro participants are in Immokalee in order to support the coalition, many of the views expressed by my guests encompass other serious topics: human rights, immigration policy, campaign organizing, greenwashing by corporations and governments, coalition building, youth activism, and economic globalization as examples. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kitishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. My first guest is Ms. Stephanie Sandu. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio. Would you please give a brief introduction about yourself, where you are from, and why you are here at this Enquentro?
My name is Stephanie Sandu. Asking me where geographically I'm from is probably a very difficult question. I go to school in Miami. I was raised in Boulder, Colorado. I was born in Toronto, Canada, but my mother is British and my father and mother were both born in India. Geographically, I don't know if you could put me on a map, but that's part of the reason I'm here. I find myself definitely identifying with the movement, being an immigrant myself. Also, beyond that, recognizing my place in the system of white supremacy and patriarchy in this country, and really truly believing that acts of solidarity with the CIW is important because we are all affected by these systems and we're all brought down by it. And people talk about, oh, I have this privilege, but I think that all of us forget sometimes that it's not a privilege living in America. Living in America for me is the result of America's imperialistic policies, is the result of European colonialization, and that's why I'm here, is because India was held back for centuries, because America's presence in other countries ensures that through fair trade acts or free trade acts or whatever you want to refer to them as, that those people aren't actually able to develop their own communities, and they're held back, and they're forced out of desperate need to cross that border and come to America, trying to find this elusive American dream, which I don't think is the case at all. And so I'm here today because I do feel like we're all bound together in the struggle, in this movement.
Stephanie, my first question I raise is the issue of globalization. To many people, globalization is the modern version of colonialism. Now, in the 21st century, ruling over other peoples and exploiting their lands and natural resources is done less by military conquest, but by political and economic means. The power structure of globalization includes government policies, international financial institutions like the World Bank, IMF, the World Trade Organization, and private sector banking, business, and industry. The power of multinational corporations and economic globalization affecting the lives of millions of people is especially troubling. In your family's homeland of India, the tragedy of Bhopal exemplifies government and corporate power. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, in 1984, a Union Carbide chemical plant release of toxic methyl isocyanate affected thousands of people and poisoned the land, water, crops, and livestock of Bhopal. 25 years later, many people have died, many are still sick, and the land and water are still highly contaminated. Dow Chemical, who purchased Union Carbide, is the second largest chemical manufacturer in the world. The High Courts of India and the U.S. have not yet brought justice to Bhopal. A sad part of all this is that globalization is often done under the disguise of so-called international development, with a public relations campaign against poverty. In many ways, globalization is responsible for much of the world's poverty, hunger, social, economic, and environmental injustices. Stephanie, would you please comment on this?
I think that it's so important that a lot of kids just adopt this attitude of, oh, globalization is inevitable. And I think that we have to analyze how is globalization happening, who is winning in globalization, who is benefiting from globalization. And a lot of times you see the answer is American companies. And a lot of times we take this, oh, well, globalization is good because people in India are working. Well, I have a little story to share. My dad had that attitude too. My dad came to this country, he got an education, he became an engineer, and he was proud that he could take it back to India. He was proud he could work for a company that was outsourcing jobs to India, and he really struggled with that backlash. But then he realized once he got in the system, what was actually happening wasn't India growing, it was America exploiting India at a different level. And it was Indian managers being kept at middle management positions, Indian workers being kept at technical jobs, and white folks still holding those higher management positions, white folks still being the CEOs of that company. And there was a term they called think leadership, that they explained to my dad that we need to keep the leadership in Canada, in US, in Europe, that we need to be using this term think leadership to inspire leadership in India, and basically making it clear that they didn't really care about the leadership development of those countries. They didn't really care about the economic development, and in fact they more so cared about those countries not overcoming their own positions. So really looking at exploitation and in those systems that we don't usually think about, like engineering companies, and really recognizing, you know, what is a very racist term. Think leadership is assuming that the Indians can't think themselves, that they need the Europeans to tell them how to run the companies. And my dad called them out on it. He was very proud, but it was the beginnings of him beginning to see what globalization actually was, because they might have stopped using the term think leadership, but in fact, it was still around him. It was still everywhere around him. It was still white males who were running these management things, and it was still Indian workers, engineers, getting paid a fraction of the amount in India. And it was just another system that the companies were painting us as a facade, as look how great we're being in India, look at the economic development of India. But in fact, if you look at India, it's uneven economic development. It's desperate economic development after years and years of a British education system that indoctrinated people into being passive, into being submissive. That's the first thing Britain did when they went into India, is they set up education systems that taught people how to not be resistant, that taught people how to serve. There's a reason why the Sikh army was such a good ally of them. It's because for centuries, then by that time they had been taught to kind of play the white man's game. And as we look at our history, I think as Indians we have to be critical of when we hear about this development going on through globalization. We have to be critical of people of color, of really who is benefiting from globalization.
We are the women of Bhopal, and this is the story of our struggle. We will fight for justice till the day we die.
We are flames, not flowers. We will not wilt before your corporate power. We are flames, not flowers. We will not wilt before your corporate power.
The Union Carbide, you cannot hide behind your deadly clouds of cyanide. You gassed our city with your poison factory, cutting costs on safety, making them, I say, using double standards, ultra technology. And you said it would be good for our economy. You ruined our lives, killed our sons and our mothers, and before we could moan, our dead sisters and brothers. You already denied all responsibility for the worst disaster in history.
We are flames, not flowers. We will not work before your corporate power. We are flames, not flowers. We will not work before your corporate power.
You made a bargain with our government to drop the charges and take the settlement. The conversation you thought was fair, $500 goes pretty far over there. What? Your champagne glasses you raise in the air, cause it only costs you 43 cents per share. Your paltry settlement made your stocks go up, but now we won't give up until your ass is locked up.
We are women of the world. We are thieves, not flowers. We will not wilt before your corporate power. Hand in hand, heart to heart, side by side. We will fight for justice till the day we die.
The blood we cough up because you're screwed up. You're gonna fess up and clean the mess up. The blood we cough up because you're screwed up. You're gonna fess up and clean the mess up.
19 years later, we're still suffering and dying, and you're still claiming trade secrets, and you're still lying. 20,000 dead and counting is more than a statistic. We remember every smile, our heartbreaks realistic. More than 100,000 still living here in vain. How can you sit there, tell us all our cries are in vain? Toxic waste dumps around your factory are adding so much insult to our injury. The poison water that we have to drink, yo, ask any daughter, she know how much it stinks. You thought the merger with the dye company would absolve you of any liability. But for your crimes against humanity, we're gonna bring down chemical to its knees.
The blood we cough up because you're screwed up. You're gonna fess up and clean the mess up. The blood we cough up because you're screwed up. You're gonna fess up and clean the mess up.
Dow has a history, several claims to fame. It was thick, napalm set, Vietnam aflame. Agent Orange causes birth defects, and using dirt span has nasty side effects. Dioxin squirting from every mother's breast, worldwide from the north to the southeast west. But your corporate man in your ties of self, you know the horror of mothers feeding toxic breast milk to our beautiful babies, our newborn innocence. This ain't no way to start their life experience. You invade our bodies and our lives knowingly, thanks to downward living poison daily.
The blood we cough up because you're screwed up. You're gonna fess up and clean the mess up. The blood we cough up because you're screwed up. You're gonna fess up and clean the mess up.
If the truth be told, we would rather die than have to live like you, where every breath is a lie.
Your corporate culture, for what it's worth, has done more to ruin our planet Earth.
Box herding humans into hollow shells, mindless consumers in their homogenous hells.
But in your quest for profit, we refuse to take part. Against all odds, we'll live our lives with joy and heart.
We believe in the power of the human spirit. We raise our voices together so everyone can hear it.
We are women of the world. We are thieves, not flowers. We'll not wilt before your corporate power. Hand in hand, heart to heart, side by side. We will fight for justice till the day we die. We are women of the world. We are thieves, not flowers.
Justice for Bhopal, a 2003 Smoke Music CD by Terry Allen, featuring Sonia Segal, Spirit Child, and DR of Movement in Motion Collective. The name of that song was Flames Not Flowers. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I am speaking with Stephanie Sandu. She is one of the many youth activists from across the country who are here in Immokalee, Florida, participating in the annual CIWSFA Encuentro. The Encuentro supports poor peoples, especially farm workers, struggle for dignity, human rights, social and economic justice. As this year's Encuentro booklet states, quote, "We hope that, as it has in Encuentro's past, this weekend will provide us the opportunity to further develop our connections with one another, commitment to the struggle, and consciousness regarding the state of our world," unquote. That statement brings us to the topic of coalition building, a central aspect of any progressive movement. Yat-Kitishi Native Center has for many years devoted itself to help build alliances between indigenous peoples and environmentalists. The primary lesson of this experience is the need for diversity and inclusion. Community organizing and coalition building requires appreciating, respecting, learning from, and supporting all peoples of different backgrounds in the movement. It is important to be sensitive to cultural, social, gender, racial, age, geographic, and economic differences among each other as we work together in a common vision and purpose. However, doing this is not always easy, especially when organizations are predominantly controlled by white people who have little or no experience with people of color. As an advisor to the Student Farm Worker Alliance since its beginning, I know SFA works very hard for equality and inclusion in the network. Stephanie is a person of color. As a young woman, I imagine at times it has been challenging for you to be one of the few so-called minorities at a conference or gathering. I, as a Native American activist and academic, have had some frustrating experiences dealing with white men who need to better understand the issue of white privilege, as well as supporting rather than dictating how things are done. Stephanie, would you please share your views?
I think, especially being a student of color, I think it's so important for us to remember the history of organizing and the history of resistance doesn't lie in the white privileged community of America. There is resistance going on all around the world. And I think there's this illusion that in America that that's the only place that activism happens is on college campuses. And it's really isolating, especially on your college campus community, when you have an activist group that's predominantly white that hasn't integrated with the rest of the other cultural groups on campus. And I face that in my own group. I mean, it is predominantly white. And a lot of times, I think we don't even check ourselves and look into what is the history on your campus. UBS on my campus was incredibly active during the 70s as far as social activism goes. They were able to get the African Students Department, and yet we find ourselves almost forgetting that and not reaching out to them. And I think we need to step back and see, like, wow, there is so much we can learn from these communities. I mean, what community was Gandhi from? What community was Martin Luther King from? They're from communities of people of color, and so I think there's so much to learn from those groups. So instead of saying, like, oh, well, we need to reach out to them so they can come to us, it's like, no, we need to reach out to them because we need to go to them, because they know so much that it's just so much, like, so much of value. I think activists are really going to miss out if they don't broaden their demographic, because I see it all the time when I go to these conferences and I look around me, and it's a shame, but it's also, as a woman of color, going back to your own community and talking to people about it and talking to them to break through the stereotypes. I think having those discussions, but also encouraging your friends that are in those movements to open up their eyes and see that this is important, especially as someone of color, because your presence in this country is so linked to the reason this movement needs to happen.
Stephanie, The next topic I want you to comment on is genetic engineering. This bioscience is particularly worrisome in the area of agriculture and fisheries. A great percentage of food people now eat, often without knowing, and a great risk to their health, are genetically modified. Biotechnology's development in molecular biology and genetic engineering threatens the biodiversity of our environment. This has grave consequences for all life on the planet. Multinational corporations like Cargill, Monsanto, Archer Daniels Midland, and others already exert great control over agribusiness and food production worldwide. Their economic and political influence is encouraging governments to make it illegal for farmers to grow non-genetically altered crops. Many of these genetic engineered plant seeds have toxic pesticides and herbicides within them. An even worse aspect, there is now a proprietary patent on what is called terminator seeds. This means an agribusiness company can genetically alter plants to be sterile. Farmers will not be allowed to save seeds, especially crop varieties that are well suited to the region they have grown in for centuries. Farmers will be forced to annually purchase genetic engineered seeds. Transnational companies are also trying to prevent the raising of non-genetic engineered livestock. Biotechnology is creating havoc for poor and small-scale farmers everywhere. Prior to third world colonial agriculture, there was a lot less hunger or food shortage in many parts of the globe. Using farmland for the growing of commodity export crops in large plantations or huge livestock ranching enterprises is a great part of the reason why areas of the world that used to be food self-sufficient now suffer hunger and malnutrition. The Green Revolution that based itself on genetic plant breeding at a number of international research stations beginning in the 1960s probably started with noble intentions by scientists to improve crop yields. Many agricultural scientists are now critical of the Green Revolution technology, since it has created many detrimental socioeconomic impacts, primarily by agribusiness and world trade agreements. The industrialization of agriculture by the Green Revolution made millions of dollars for companies under the banner of helping to feed the world's growing population. Now, in the 21st century, biotechnology is continuing to transform agriculture for greedy profiteers at the expense of people and the environment. Genetic engineering is one of the great threats of globalization. One special hero fighting against this worldwide monster is activist and scientist Vandana Shiva from India. Stephanie, would you please share your thoughts?
I'm actually a scientist myself. I'm in the field. I'm taking a genetics class right now. And the more and more I learn, the more and more I realize we don't know. And there's a lot of ignorance in our own science. As you opened up the first two chapters of a science textbook, and it talks about all the mistakes we've made. And we look at even the past 100 years in development of other fields, like medicine and antibiotics. We've done this before. We've dug ourselves in the hole. Now we're at this point, we're using so many antibiotics, and now we have this bacteria developing resistance that we're not going to be able to fight. And we've really got quite a problem on our hands. See this other Green Revolution kind of paralleling that movement, where people say, oh, well, they had good intentions at heart, but no, they had profits at heart. Why was the science pushed so much? It wasn't so that everyone in this world can be fed, because that's not what has happened because of this Green Revolution. It hasn't encouraged the distribution of food. It can be quite dangerous, like you said. And so I think it's scientists who need to come up and step out and say, what are we actually doing, and what is going to be the consequences of this, instead of just being so blinded by the money, just like I think the medical community needs to do.
Mama's kitchen got no dress code. You just come and eat your fill. Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. Mama's kitchen got no color code. Come in your native skin. Hey, hey, hey. Mama's kitchen got no borders. It's everywhere you turn. Turn, 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 turn. Mama's kitchen got no dress code. Isn't it time we learn? Hey, hey, hey. No politics on Mama's menu. On the left page or the right. Food enough for each human belly. In the heart, within its sight. Mama's kitchen for the needy. Serves a piece of planet pie. Yeah. And the spoils go to the greedy. Spoiling horizon sky. Sky high. On Mama's menu. On the left page or the right. Food enough for each human belly. In the heart, within its sight. Mama's kitchen got no dress code. You just come and eat your fill. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mama's kitchen got no color code. Come in your native skin. Hey, hey, hey. Mama's kitchen got no borders. It's everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, 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 turn. Mama's kitchen got no dress code. Isn't it time we learn? Hey, 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 yeah.
Music from singer-songwriter Rafi. The name of that song was Mama's Kitchen. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. My guest today is youth activist Stephanie Sandu. Stephanie, prior to Rafi's song about food justice, we were talking about biotechnology and agribusiness's economic and political imposition of genetic engineering in agriculture. I mentioned one of the great warriors fighting against this aspect of globalization is Dr. Vandana Shiva of India, whom I've had the honor to meet several times. I am now going to play an audio clip from YouTube where Vandana speaks about agricultural globalization and injustice.
The World Bank and IMF are conveniently forgetting that they have had a very big hand in creating the current crisis. Under structural adjustment for debt relief, through the 80s, through the 90s, they forced countries to give up their food stocks, to start becoming dependent on international markets. They have encouraged countries to stop growing staple foods and start growing flowers and lettuce and beans for export to the supermarkets in the north. We're really in the middle of a perfect storm with three forces. The kind of trade liberalization policies the World Bank, IMF, and World Trade Organization have pushed, which have created the food insecurity in the first place, and put food in the hands of speculators in the future commodity markets, where the investors are seeking 25% return on food, and they're on food commodities. They're only going to get it with food prices rising. The second is climate change, and the third is the diversion of food to biofuels. It's very important that they take the leadership because they have been part of the problem, and they must compensate the damages to the third world by destroying the sovereignty and self-reliance of third world agriculture. But pushing third world agriculture on the path of the Green Revolution, as is being proposed for Africa under the Alliance of the Green Revolution for Africa, the Bill Gates and Rockefeller Alliance, it means more money for more fertilizers at a time of peak oil. There'll be more cost to agriculture, smallholders will go into debt, but it'll also mean more greenhouse gas emissions, more nitrogen oxide in the atmosphere, more drought and more crop failure. That's the wrong way to grow. We need solutions that will be able to mitigate climate change and adapt to it. That means ecological farming. That means farming that puts more carbon back into the soil. Only organic agriculture can do it. And organic agriculture, contrary to the myth spread by the World Bank, actually can produce more food than all their chemical monocultures can. This partnership between the state and corporations is what we describe in IFG as corporate rule. This is corporate rule. When money power rises above the structures of politics, starts to shape politics, and politics now has only one function, appropriating from the people to hand over to big corporate interests. But there's a second consequence of this. First is, of course, the erosion of democracy in a very direct way. But there's a much more serious consequence of it, and that is to do with the fact that this is exactly what fascism is about. This convergence of power. There's, you know, it's interesting, when Clinton was supporting WTO and globalization, he kept saying the reason we need more free trade is because otherwise we'll have Hitler and Mussolini, not realizing that it was precisely total deregulation of commerce and capital that created the conditions of absolute power. And if it wasn't Mussolini, it would have been someone else. If it hadn't been Hitler, it would have been someone else. It wasn't the person. We need to look at the structures. And the structures and the systems are sick at every level. Most importantly, they're making life impossible. I mean, in any way, the environmental non-sustainability was making life non-sustainable for the future. But I think we've now reached a stage where within our own lifetimes, millions will be denied their right. We will witness it. And I think we cannot live in a system in which we allow that to happen. So if you have to deal with a system which is saying you can't live, where, as I say sometimes, we have changed the old inequality of the haves and have-nots into a new inequality of the lives and the live-nots. How do we deal with that? I think the first way we deal with that is basically celebrate life and say we have a right to live.
That was Dr. Vandana Shiva, an anti-globalization activist and one of our heroes of the planet. Stephanie, meeting you and other fine young sisters and brothers from across the country supporting poor people's struggle for dignity and justice gives me hope for the future, that your generation will continue to defend Mother Earth and fight for justice. I am wondering, how do you feel about your generation? Do you have hope for the future?
I see a lot of potential for change, and that really excites me. I was raised in a very liberal community, but as far as actual progress, it was recycling. And moving to Miami, which is a more harsh environment to organize in than I would say Boulder, I've actually seen more progress. I've seen action taken, and that's been really inspirational to me, is to get into a field of organizing where I'm able to channel all of this really beautiful language growing up about equality and anti-oppression and actually channel it into something where I'm doing something and not what I see as kind of living selfishly in Boulder, where I kind of ride my bike around, but I live in a bubble. And so I'm inspired by the fact that there's so many opportunities to break through that bubble, to be part of the movement. And so, yes, and I would love to see more youth involved in organizing. That's what I love about organizing, is it broadens that perspective of the issues of capitalism and the system we live in. And I really hope that the youth are able to really latch on to this idea that they can implement change in a greater sense, instead of just educating people about, you know, the genocide going on in Darfur, which is what I see a lot. And I think the opportunities and the chance are there, but I think it's going to be a long process.
I want to sincerely thank you for speaking with us today on Wolf Mountain Radio and all the work you do for justice. As host and producer of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, I try to have a diversity of people interviewed so that there are various cultural and gender backgrounds heard. It is a special privilege to have you speak as a woman of South Asian heritage. Mainstream media in America rarely presents a perspective from India. Stephanie, I always like to ask my guests if they have any last comments they wish to express to our worldwide listeners.
I would just like to say, and thank you for listening to this. That's a huge step. Educate yourself. Get out there and realize your education is in a textbook. It's not just listening to me or this show. It's listening to other indie sources. It's listening to even mainstream media and being critical of it. And turn on Fox News and really get to the depth of the message and be aware of what messages are pounded into your brain every day.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together. for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please listen next time for Wolf Mountain Radio's Program 3 of Voices for Justice, Conversation with Youth Activists from the Immokalee and Quantro. Listeners interested to learn more about Dr. Vandana Shiva, her work for planetary justice, please visit her website www.vandanshiva.org. Listeners interested in learning more about anti-globalization issues, please visit the website of IFG, the International Forum on Globalization, at www.ifg.org. Yadkinishi Native Center, host and producer of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, encourages worldwide listeners to get involved in campaigns and actions for justice, however you can and wherever you live. The society we now have and the type of life future generations will inherit depends upon everyone everywhere working together for a better world for all. We shall conclude today's program with a flute song by Johnny Whitehorse off his Silverwave Records CD. The name of the song is Indian Pony. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawan Takwasin, to all of our relations.